Good morning. I know we've got several out sick, and I'm thankful for our worship team because whoever is not here, they still carry on and can lead and help us, and so we're just in a good place this morning. So usually at the end of the year, we talk about the next word. Last year, we did something a little different, and I asked you to get a word for your family, what it was supposed to look like, what the year, because we believe that when Amos says that God does nothing without telling his people ahead of time in Amos chapter 3, that we believe that, and so we believe that God wants us to know what's coming. He wants to give us a direction. And I still want you to do that for your individual families, to be praying and asking him, Lord, show us what our family unit, what it looks like in this coming year. But we are going to have a word for a corporate word for the year that we're going to work on together throughout 24. I'm really excited about this word. Normally, it's like the end of November, mid-December, and the Lord starts dropping stuff into me. This word I got beginning of October. And I shared it with Apostle, and he's like, really? Are you sure? It's awful early. I'm like, I know it's early. And then in October, before that, I kept telling him, I got to go, Heidi Baker, she's a missionary that does a lot of work in Mozambique. She's a woman that she was spoken over that she was going to have a healing ministry and for specifically for eyes, ears, that kind of thing. And she went and she prayed over 1,000 people before she had a first healing. 1,000 people, person after person after person, nothing, no answer, no result, no healing. She just kept it up. And I've read her books, and that type of diligence and persistence just draws me. And she was going to be in Washington, D.C. in October, and I had told Apostle, I said, I got to go. All I got to do is just go hear her. I don't know why, I just need to go. I need to hear her. So I haven't been to a conference in a long, long time like that. And I went, and she was speaking the first night. And the first night, she spoke for 2 hours on the word that the Lord gave me for our church. And I told the person that went with me, a friend of mine, I said, I can leave now. I can go home now. I don't even have to stay for the rest of the conference. Because it says the Lord's just really, that's what he was doing. He was confirming for me the direction that we're going and or that he wants us to head in 24 as a body of believers at Pine Grove. And so I'm going to be sharing that with you. And we'll figure out how this unfolds as we move through the year. But so I've got a PowerPoint just because I think visuals sometimes on these kinds of things help. So if you would bring up the PowerPoint. Father, we just ask that you speak through me. Give me the words that you would say. Let me hear your voice, Lord, so that we've got not just the word, but we've got a beginning for application. Amen. So it's a simple word. It's go. Go, go, go. And I was drawn to Mark chapter 16. We're going to read it, verses 15 through 20. And we're going to read verses 15 through 18 first. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I could spend all day talking to you about every creature, but I can't do that. Maybe some other sermon, some other message, but there is cool stuff when you think about every creature. You know, you remember the summer with my peach trees and them dadgum squirrels over the last 5 years picking off all my peaches. And this year I said, that's enough. I'm going to go out there. I got dominion. That's what Genesis says. And I'm going to speak over my peaches and speak over them dadgum squirrels. And I had peaches all over the place. Them squirrels didn't touch my peaches. So there's something here with the every creature piece, but we're not going to deal with that. We're going to look at the rest of it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believes in my name. They're going to cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Okay, now don't panic. We're not the people from Tennessee that play with rattlesnakes. Okay, there are stories about Paul and how he was bitten and by a snake on one of his journeys, and all the people said he was going to die, but he didn't die. We're going to look at this as an equation. Because what we need to move forward with kingdom is in an equation, and it's in these verses. If you can go to that next, just that next slide. So, go. You are the X. The X in the algebra equation is the unknown, right? So we're going to come back to that. The discipling is the preaching and the teaching, okay? Some versions that you read will say discipling, some whether you're in Matthew or you're in Mark, or, you know, they'll talk about discipling, they'll talk about teaching, they talk about preaching. When we say discipling, we're talking about teaching and preaching. Really raising people up so that they get saved and then they're growing up in the Lord. They're growing a deeper relationship with the Lord. And then we baptize. That was in there. And we have signs and wonders. And what it equates to is kingdom significance. Okay? Can you work with the equation? Okay? So when we put all these things together, we get kingdom significance. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But I want to talk about what go looks like for you. Because you are the X. You have the unknown. You're the one that has to figure out what going looks like for you in 2024, okay? So go to the next slide for just a minute. And before we get into detail on that, I want to share with you that, and I say primarily, because the going, we have to figure out. We have to figure out what it looks like for us. We have to figure out who God called us to be. We have to figure out where he wants us to go. We have to figure out what that unknown is. And that's primarily left up to you, because Joyce's going is going to look different than my going, okay? In the conference that I went to in October, she had this great illustration. And if I knew that my husband could get his shoes back on pretty quickly, I'd use him as an example. But what she took the biggest guy in the room, she took his shoes, she put his shoes on, she gave him her shoes, and she's a little bit bigger than me, but not much. And they both had troubles going in the shoes that they were wearing because they were trying to wear somebody else's shoes. They were trying to go with somebody else's anointing or go with somebody else's calling in their life. So primarily, it's left up. It's an individual thing, because his calling doesn't look like your calling, doesn't look like your calling, doesn't look like your calling. We have to figure that out. Discipling primarily the church, and I say primarily, doesn't mean that you can't disciple people one-on-one, that you can't teach and you can't help raise them up. But it is the church's role as a unit to come in and support each other to help raise up. There's a phrase, we don't want a big church, we want big people in our church. And when I say big people, I mean people that are recognized in spiritual things. You know that scripture in Acts 19 where the sons of Sceva and their and these demons are speaking, and they say, "Jesus we know and Paul we know, but you, I don't know who you are." So we want to be the discipling piece. We want to work together to raise up people who are recognized. Baptizing, again, it's not that you can't baptize somebody, because you can. You don't have to be a pastor to baptize somebody. But a lot of times we do baptisms in the church because we want to hear the testimony. We want to celebrate with them. So that's a role primarily, not totally, but primarily by the church. And then those signs and wonders, that's something that God brings, and I'm going to show you in this verse 20, but that's something that God brings along to us if we're going in the right place at the right time with the right mission. The signs and wonders. Now, primarily God, you still have to believe for it. You still have to know that God will do it. So it's not all God, because he can be wanting to pour out signs and wonders, and if you can't get your head around grabbing hold of him doing something unusual, then it's probably not going to happen. So this is kind of a breakdown of our equation, and we're going to focus on that go. If you can go to the next slide. In the Greek, this word, if you looked it up, literally means pursue the journey on which one has entered. Think about that. Order one's life. I was telling, you guys have heard me say this a million times probably, but I was talking to one of the bishops in Africa, and we were sitting there, and I don't know, we started talking about gifting and stuff, and I always like to tell the story because people laugh, but it is so true, and it's just a great example. I was telling this bishop, because he was asking me about my gifting, and somebody had said, well, yeah, she talks a lot. You've heard me say it. Yes, you know, when my parents would introduce me and they'd say, oh, you know, your older sister Nina, she can write. And then they say, oh, Melanie can play the piano. And then they would go silent, not say anything. And then somebody would say, well, what does Julie do? You didn't tell us. Oh, she just talks. She just talks. And it bothered me for a long time. As a kid growing up, and even into my adult years, it bothered me, greatly bothered me. Like, is that all they think I can do is just talk? Then I started to figure out who I am in Christ. And I started to figure out that what I do is I talk. That's who God made me to be. That's why I can talk to any of my students. I got 125 students. I can talk to them. I can, doesn't matter what their background is or what state they're from or what country or nation, I can figure out how to talk to them. I can figure out how to talk to people in Africa. I can talk to some, run into talk to, and talk to somebody, a stranger on the street. I can talk. And I started to realize that that is part of my going. It's part of who God made me to be. And if I don't embrace it, then I'm going to miss out on what he has for me to accomplish. So I'm not ashamed anymore when my husband says, oh, yeah, she even talks in her sleep. I do. That's true. It's true. But it doesn't even bother me anymore, because that's who God's made me to be. This going word is really important for us this year. I think God has big things in store for us. I think he has open doors that he is getting ready to swing wide open. But we have to be a people who understand what your go is, whatever that looks like. And when we know what our go is, then we start ordering our life to match it. I hated being a nurse. I hated it. A disaster followed me everywhere. I even had an ER doctor tell me one time, Horde, I'm not working with you anymore. I don't want to see you in the ER anymore. Why? Because whenever I was in the ER, disaster happened. But when I got to be a nurse, who was talking and teaching, whole different scenario, whole different storyline. I love teaching. I love teaching about nursing. I love teaching, talking about the Bible. I love talking. I can be a nurse and talk. And I can love being a nurse then. I can't love being a nurse just doing what I was doing. It was awful. It was just awful. So we have to pursue the journey that you're on, that pursue the journey on which one has entered and order one's life. So we can talk about, because this word go is all across the spectrum. It can be big, okay? Like Dugan, I'm going to pick on Dugan, because Dugan, we've talked many times about an international business, and that is going to require him to do some things. That means he can't stay, you know, at the job that he's at right now. Doesn't mean he has to leave tomorrow. But if he's doing big international business, and that's what God's calling him to, then we have to start looking at the things on our journey that we have to get in place so that it's ready, so that when God opens the door, he's ready to go through it. You understand that? It's important that you know who you are. Like Kathy Ann. Kathy Ann's working on computer stuff. She has to get through her schooling. That's part of her journey. It's part of the going. We have to order one's life to help us get in line with what God's called us. And it's your passions, I think, and Apostle might differ with me on some of this, but I think we start by looking at where your passion is. See, I think when you're doing and going where God's called you to go and being who he's called you to be, that it's the happiest place in the world. Happiest place in the world. I told him the other day, I said, I don't know. I said, you know, I love teaching and preaching in Africa. Love it. Why? Because I can go 3 hours and they'll just sit there and let me talk. But genuine, because they want to learn. And so it's this perfect place where they're wanting to be sponges and I'm being who God called me to be and pouring into them what I know and what God showed me. I mean, it's this perfect marriage where, because in America, let's face it, if it gets too long, everybody starts yawning. We're not cut out for that. We probably should be, because we should be in a place where we want to hear. That doesn't mean that we should be preaching for hours just to hear ourselves talk, but because you really have something to teach and to share. But you have to then get yourself in a place. So if I'm going to order my life, okay, I get myself a job that has a flexible schedule so that when I need to go to Africa, I can go and not have a problem. I have a job that gives me pretty good vacation hours. I have to plan ahead financially. I mean, this is ordering your steps. Do you see what I'm talking about? But going isn't just about, we can back up from that, because that is assuming that we're in a good place, we're hearing God, we know where he wants us to do, but there's some of us that have going to do that isn't quite there yet. It's a going that says, I'm going to put myself around people who I know can help me, grow me up, can disciple me. It means means transforming my mind and how I act, which means maybe I'm not shooting my mouth off when I normally would. I will keep my mouth quiet. I'm going to be very conscious of that. I'm not going to snap at people. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to go away from offense, not toward offense. There's a whole bunch of this in this concept of going. And some of it is going to, some of us have to step a step back and look at going in the sense of where am I at as far as transforming my mind and becoming more Christ-like. I keep thinking of Lisa's testimony that she gave a few weeks ago, which was so, I mean, it's such a good testimony and example of this, because she talked about not having the best relationship with her mother, but she has been working on transforming herself and becoming more Christ-like and following who Christ wanted her to be, that when she spent time with her mother, her mother's noticing change. That's going toward a new me, a different me, so that people around you can see it and experience it. This word go is pretty big. It seems simple, but it's not, because it's the beginning of the equation. Because as the church, we have to be in a place where we are going and being who God called us to be, and we're going and being transformed and becoming more like Christ. Because if we don't, we never get to the other parts of the equation, which is the discipling. Because who wants to go and get discipled by somebody who's nasty or bites their head off all the time? I don't want to be around somebody that just snaps at me. I don't. I don't want to be around somebody who just thinks about themselves. I don't want to be around somebody who is selfish. How many of you, you go to some type of family reunion or something, nobody asks you about you. They all just want to talk about them. Yeah? Y'all know what I'm talking about? We don't want to be that kind of people. In this going place, we are transforming so that people want to be around us. They want to experience this change. They don't understand it, but they see it. And they want more information, like Diane's testimony today. It's part of the discipling. You can't get them to baptism if you can't talk to them and get them discipled. Start discipling them. They don't understand it. They don't want it. They don't. It's not what you're displaying to them is not anything that they want anything about. So going can come in all kinds of starting places for us in January. You go to the next slide. It's this verse 20. And I really like this, because it says, when they went forth and they preached, which is that directing your path and going, it says, the Lord worked with them, confirming the word with signs. So when we go, and going takes desire, it takes creativity, it takes diligence, and it takes dreams, okay? So I want you to think about that for where you're at. Going is going to require a desire. What do you want it to look like? What does God want it to look like? Because desire, if you have no desire to move, remember a few weeks ago when we had the words, we gave words to everybody. I don't know, was it not November? I had a word for somebody. They weren't here. And so I didn't give it. But literally the word was, get off the treadmill. Get off the treadmill. Which is literally quit doing everything that you've been doing. Quit doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over. If you're going to go, you got to get off the treadmill. The treadmill doesn't take you any place. It won't take you anywhere. I'm not a big athlete, no surprise. But I watch these people with those Pelotons and the commercials, and they always put the little screen out in front of you. Oh, go run in this place over this bridge. And do you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm talking about? And I always think, that ain't going. I don't get the smells. I don't get the dirt on my shoes. I don't get all of the real experience. It's a fake experience. And as Christians, there's a lot of times we want to tell ourselves that we're going and we're really not going. It's a fake experience. You really want to go? Go be Cliff Young that runs up and down mountains. Day and night. Out in the open. Out in the outback. So we have this desire has to be there. Creativity. If you're going to go, you have to come up with some creativity. And that's that same word about getting off of the treadmill. You don't know what God has in store. There's no way in the world I would have told you I'm 61, if I was 30 years younger, 31, there's no way in the world I would have told you I would be going. One of my favorite things to do would be to go to Africa and preach. It wasn't even anywhere on my continuum, nowhere. Because my background said that women sat in the church, didn't talk. That was my history. And so as a 31-year-old, I was starting to push that a little bit where I could teach or I could give a testimony, I could say something. But it wasn't in my thought mind to do something major, big, like go to Africa. It wasn't even there. You have to allow God to be creative with what he wants you to do and where he wants to take you. Because I can guarantee you it's different than what you think. And it's better than what you think. Better and bigger. Absolutely. Creativity is important. We have the diligence. Persistence wins the day. You know the story about the woman and the judge? And the judge said, this woman keeps hounding the judge. And the judge says, just because you kept hounding me, just because you persisted, I'm going to give you your answer. I'm going to get you there. I'm going to give you what you want. How many times does God, is he trying to do something? Or is he trying to work with us? He's trying to take us someplace. And we start off our going, and then we just quit. We just can't hold on long enough. We can't persist long enough to let him play it out according to his timetable. We have to be persisters. And we have to have some dreams. I picked on Dugan because I already told you this international business. Just dream with me for a minute. What does that look like? What does it look like?
Dreaming? Like that? Like the business part?
Yeah. Business part. You there? Are you
yeah,
with me?
I'm okay. With you. I'm here. Yeah.
Okay, wake up. Hey.
So, what do you want from me? Like what I'd like to see out of it?
When you think about that, what do you see?
Best case scenario, France, Italy, maybe a little bit of Japan in there.
What?
Mountains. Somewhere with mountains.
Just doing what?
I don't know. Business stuff. You told me to dream. This is off the cuff dreaming.
This is the problem. We got to dream bigger than just, I can get you on an airplane and send you to France. That don't get you to your business dream.
I mean, I guess if we're talking business and like what I really find enjoyment and fulfillment in life, it would be strategic. So it would be something that has to do with strategic, I don't know if it necessarily has to be ministry, but like building a business in a sense that benefits above and beyond what it should be normally.
For what purpose?
For obviously for God, but like.
Well, it's not so obvious if you don't say it.
I mean, isn't that the whole call, the international business for him? I mean, I thought that was kind of like.
Dream. Awesome. You tell me.
Well, you just came up with a microphone. You're like, dream, dream. Got to give me a little bit more context. But yes, that's
how we start. Yeah, but that's how we start. Oh, yeah. But that's how we're supposed to start. We have to start. Because if you don't start. So for those of you who don't know, Dugan hasn't traveled overseas at all. So I keep talking to him about getting his passport, coming with me on one of our journeys. I know he wants a 5-star hotel and I get a mud hut, so we're going to have to work on that one. But it's ordering the steps and it's looking at what needs to happen to start putting things into place, because it just doesn't happen overnight. It's not that you're going to have this dream, you're going to have this dream about going to Africa, then boom, it happens. It just doesn't work like that. When God is pouring a dream into us, he's partnering with us, and so he wants us to start looking at, well, what do I need to do? What steps? Do I need schooling? Do I need a passport? How much money am I going to need? I mean, part of this whole thing is understanding that this going is a process, and we have to start. We have to get moving. The Lord has big things. I believe it. He's got big things in store for people in this house. He's got things for them to accomplish. And when I say big things, it doesn't mean necessarily that you have to leave town. You don't. You know, there's the story of the guy who he just wanted to own a business, and his goal was to build his business up to such an extent that he could tithe 90% of his income and live off 10%. Doing it just from where he was. So what does your goal look like? We have to figure this out. What does your goal look like? What are the steps that are going to take to get us there? Because when we're going, we're finding these people, we're talking to people in our path, and because we're being who God called us to be, we're drawing them to, like, this testimony that Diane gave today of this woman who now, she didn't like her, but now she's reading some books and they're talking. If you aren't who God called you to be, if you aren't on the going journey and opening up possibilities for God how God was going to use you in that going journey, you're never going to get to the discipling piece. You're never going to get to the baptizing piece. And we're never going to get to the signs and wonders. And it's in the signs and wonders piece that we get our significance. And that's why I said in this equation, kingdom significance. There's two scriptures I cannot get away from. Every week, at least, I get them out, open them up, and read them. The first one's that one I told you about in Acts 19, where the demon is talking and says, "Oh, you know, Paul I know and Jesus Christ I know, but you I don't know." See, I want to be known in the spiritual realm. I want them to know me. And I want them to know you. And I want them to know our church in the spiritual battles that are going on. I want them I want the demons to shudder when they see, "Oh, that's a Pine Grove person. We're in trouble." That's what I want. That's kingdom significance. Or in Acts 17, verse 6, where they're talking and it says, "Oh, these are the people that turn the world upside down." That's us. When you're each going and being who God called you to go and be. Because in that going, you're going to find people to talk to. And that's why it's so important when we're here in the house that we're talking with each other. Are there people? Let me ask. You don't raise your hand, but I'm going to ask. Just answer it to yourself. Are there people in this room that you don't talk to? Because if there are If there are people in this room that you don't talk to, that's a problem. How are you going to talk to people out there if you're not talking to people in here? This is our practice zone. This is where we step up to somebody we don't know and start saying hello and how are you and finding out about their life. And that leads to us being able to speak into their life and give them words and support them and encourage them to become who God called them to be and to go, help them go. But if you got people in this room that you don't even talk to, I mean, seriously, look around. There are people you never talk to. This whole thing about being significant, the word significant is this, the definition. The quality of being worthy of attention. Significant. The quality of being worthy of attention. Worthy of attention. See, I think sometimes Christians get this false humility. Oh, I shouldn't be significant. Oh, I shouldn't this, I shouldn't that. You know, you need to be significant. You need to want to be significant in the kingdom. You want them to know your name. You want them to tremble because they know that you and God are like this. And when you're like this, things happen. You want that kind of attention. One of the ladies in one of the churches that we were at, they asked me to speak about intercession briefly. And so ended up not briefly because I like to talk. So it was like an hour and a half. But anyway, surprise, I know. Go ahead, Elizabeth, I know. But so envision this, okay? We have God right here, okay? God's sitting on the throne. That's right. We got Jesus sitting to the right of him. Okay? That's what the Bible says. Jesus sits to the right hand of God. In Revelations, it says that Satan comes day and night. He's an accuser. That's what it says. Day and night. Day and night. So here you got God. Here you got Jesus. And then you got Satan over here. Okay? And Satan is just tearing it up. It's just like Job. He's like, you know, if you did this and this and this and this, you know, people would cave, they'd fall apart. You know, if this one gets sick or if this one doesn't have money or this, Satan's whispering things to God all the time. And you talk about significance, okay? But all the time that Satan is coming at God accusing his people, God has this bowl. Now, in Revelations, in the King James, it calls it a vial, but in the Greek, that translates to bowl. So there's a bowl sitting right next to him, okay? And in the bowl, it says, are the prayers of the saints. And it says the prayers of the saints are creating a sweet incense. Okay? Do you know how strong a smell is? I don't eat eggs to this day. I was pregnant with my first kid in 84. I haven't eaten an egg since because the smell just made me so. Smells can be very powerful. Okay? Smells are very powerful. It's a strong sense. So right here, Jesus is here. God's here. Jesus is here. Satan's standing there accusing. And God has this bowl with prayers of the saints, and it's creating, those prayers are creating the sweet smell that's coming up before him. And at some point, God says to Satan, you just need to leave for a while because I have these great smells over here and I've got to deal with these prayers because it's so wonderful, I've got to address it. I really don't want to deal with you or listen to you anymore, so just leave because I'm going to sit here and address these prayers. That's significance. When You're worthy of attention. So this equation, if we go back to the equation, one more. In 2024, we have to figure out the go. We have to help you figure out your go. It doesn't need to look like anybody else's. Nobody's doing comparisons because each person's go is unique. As you go and as we figure this out, you're going to attract people. There's going to be discipling. There's going to be baptizing. And out of that, in verse 20, because the Lord's going to work with you, as we do this, he's going to bring about signs and wonders, and we're going to have kingdom significance. Kingdom significance. That's what we're about. So when I say not a big church, although the church should get big because your impact that you're making is influencing people, but we want big people. When I say big people, people who understand who they are, who God's called them to be, understand your authority that comes when you walk in that, so that in the spiritual realm, they know your name. And we turn the world upside down together. And when we're doing our intercession, that the Lord's smelling it and he's going, oh my gosh, that's my Pine Grove people. I have to answer this one. Do you smell all the smells that they're creating? It's pretty beautiful. I have to address that. That's significance. That's the going. I don't know what he has in store for us, but I'm telling you, I can't get away from this word. I think it's important. There's a timing piece. There's a season. Satan wants to pull you back into your history. He wants to pull you back into your history. God wants to move you forward into your destiny. Okay? Everything about God is forward motion. He even says that when we ask him to forgive us, he doesn't remember the stuff in the past. He says, as far as the east is from the west, I don't remember it. That means he's looking forward. He's moving forward. He's moving ahead. He is not a God about the past. We use our past as a testimony when he leads us to, so that others can understand that if they're going through the same thing, that they can come out of it and God has big stuff for them too. But as a whole, it's Satan that wants to pull you back to your history. God wants to move you to your destiny. But you have to go. You have to get off the treadmill. You have to quit being who you normally are. That means that if I'm normally shy, maybe there's times I have to be a little bit bolder. That means, and like for me, I'm a talker. Sometimes I have to have, I've really been working on my quiet time where I'm not even talking. I'm just sitting and being quiet. It's really hard. But you have to change who you are. You have to transform into who God's calling you to be. Multidimensional. You ought to be looking at yourself at the end of 24 and going, I am not who I started out as. Just like Elizabeth's testimony, and it was all fitting today because she said, what I was in 23, I wasn't one. I mean, it's not who I am right now. That's what God has for us. It's his going to create kingdom significance so that when we stand before him, we're not ashamed. And we can look him in the eye and we can say, I know who you called me to be, and this is what I did. And he says, well done. Well done. If you, and I can't make you do this, I can't beg you to do this, you have to choose to do this. You need to, if you don't understand your going, or if you need help with your going, you've got to get with apostle or one of the elders, you've got to let us know. We will help you on that journey. There's things that, you know, whether it's prophetic words or whether it's your own passions, we have a starting spot where we start to help move you in that direction. And then your job, once you've done that step one, then step two is these things that I've taught, these four words, desire, creativity, diligence, dreams. You have to start thinking about those. You were born to increase the kingdom. You were born to be significant in the kingdom. That's what he made you for. Yeah? Yeah? I should get an amen. Born for significance. I don't know what it all looks like, but I know that we can find it together and we can work on it together, but you have to make an effort. You have to be the diligent piece. You know, it's like the big guy's calendar, okay? If you go up to him and say, hey, I need to talk to you, or my calendar, because John's been trying to talk to me and my calendar's wonky. So you have to be diligent. You have to say, I need to talk to you. Get me on your calendar. I've asked 3 times. You still haven't got me on the calendar. Be persistent. Don't be bashful. How bad do you want it? If you can't be creative, there's a lot of people around here that are. We can help you be diligent. We can help put people around you that will check on you and say, hey, how are we doing? We can do that. But this word go is crucial. Going in a transforming of who you are and going into ordering your life for what God's called you to be. Father, we thank you so much for today. I know it's just, it's not a big fancy word. It's even not a real dramatic word, and it seems pretty common. But I know, Lord, that this is where you're taking us, that we're supposed to be a people in motion. Lord, in motion to fully step into who you've called us to be, to find the people that you have in front of, that you've mapped out, that you want us to talk to them. The businesses you want us to impact, the towns you want us to impact. Father, so many things. And so for us, Lord, let us recognize that initially in the going, we have to make sure that we're going toward the right thing. So not toward offense, but toward forgiveness, toward compassion, toward opening up to your creativity, opening up to possibilities, opening up to the understanding that you want us to be significant. And then take us into that place, Lord, of where we know what our going looks like. Because I know that your word says that you want us to know that so that we can be effective. Lord, we want our names known. We want the spiritual realm. We want them to know and recognize our names. We want them to say that these are people who turn the world upside down. That's what we're after. Lord, we want to be those people where even our prayers create such a sweet smell that you have to respond. We just praise you, Lord. Help us to remember the definition that as we go, there's discipling, there's baptizing, there's signs and wonders. Those come as we figure out that unknown part, and it creates kingdom significance that we can, Lord, lay at your feet. We praise you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Amen. Grab somebody you haven't said hello to. Have a great New Year's. Enjoy the day tomorrow. And we'll see you back here next Sunday. In the meantime, we do have a daycare pre-hearing on the 22nd. So please be praying about that, okay? Amen? Amen. Find somebody you haven't said hello to.